You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, give Rick Hemingway a call. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle all of your trap needs. His team can provide new and pre-owned units and service that is second to none. And they also have a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Not only does Rick set and design sporting clays courses, but he also offers turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. Welcome to Shotgun Sports. On this episode, I have the general manager of Rocky Creek Sporting Clays joining me. He's a very well-rounded, high-level shooter and instructor that is committed to all aspects of shooting sports. Please welcome Mike Luongo. What's up, Mike?
Not much, Justin. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready for the shooting season to come back in so we can get to having some fun again.
There you go. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good year.
Just had one of your students on the podcast with us a couple weeks ago. I guess you heard
that. Rihanna.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. A lot of people love that podcast, you know. Rihanna and Madison, two, you know, great lady shooters, and I thought they did a great job, you know, back and forth. It was cool. I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah. What you been up to lately? I know you're busy at Rocky Creek.
Oh, yeah, we're busy. I mean, you know, the weather's, you know, in the mid-50s, but, you know, everybody's kind of getting ready for those Florida shoots and, you know, trying to find ammo. We're pretty good on ammo. We've got a good supply, actually. But I'll tell you what, it's, you know, I spend 2+ hours a day, you know, making sure we have ammo. My quote is, you know, like a golf course without golf balls, you know.
What,
you got to have it.
So what are you having to call your suppliers and just hoping they're having it when you need it? Or how's that working for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm going to give a couple people a shout-out that have been really, really awesome through all this. Joe Gardner from Crow Shooting Supply. Mm-hmm. He's been amazing. I mean, friend of mine, real good friend of mine. You know, we talk every week. Yeah, it's not about shells. We try not to talk about shells right now. and then, you know, Dwight Lumpkins, you know, and Doug from Game Boy, they've been awesome. You know, they've kept us in shells. And, you know, I just hope everybody remembers people like that, you know, and when times get good again, you know, remember to kind of help you out, you know. Super good. Those two just first come to mind, and many others. You know, Hyatt's Gun Shop in North Carolina, Charlotte. My buddy Evan, he also helped us out. They bought a huge supply before. They always keep a huge supply, and, you know, he's bailed me out a couple times. Good people. So it's kind of, we're all kind of coming together to keep the shooters in shells, you know.
Yeah.
Shoot.
So can you buy as much as you want when you come there? Can you buy, you limited in shooters to a flat or what? What are you doing?
Yeah, so what I'm doing, you know, everybody's a little different. Like I said, we've been very, very blessed and lucky to have some inventory. So I have a 3-case limit on 12-gauge per visit and a 1-case limit on 20-gauge. And, you know, we have so many, you know, young shooters and youth shooters that go to all these matches all over in tournaments. You know, I don't say you have to shoot them at the club. You know, a lot of people are shooting at the club, but, you know, I'm not going to turn down a kid or somebody who has an NFCA tournament the next day. You know, I'm going to sell them shells, too. I want to keep people on shells as much as I can. And that kind of, that 3K slim, it's kind of keeping everybody in, fair to everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's a big deal right now. I was talking to Fred Finese, and he's saying the same thing, you know. But hopefully it gets better soon, you know, so we can all get back to not worrying about that part of it.
Yeah, it'll come around. You know, just get through it and move on.
Yeah, let me tell you what's crazy, and people haven't mentioned this much, and what we do is, you know, we're talking about where's the ammo because we all have guns. But what if you don't have a gun? You know, and you want to go buy a gun. What do you do? You know, the guns are gone too.
Yeah, it is. It's another thing. I mean, I probably, you know, we're small at Rocky Creek as far as gun sales, but we carry, you know, different guns, consignment guns. I mean, I can't even keep a consignment gun in. Guy brings in a consignment gun, it's gone. You know, they don't really care what it is as long as it goes bang, you know. Just wild.
What kind of guns you sell there at Rocky Creek?
Yeah, so we sell, you know, Beretta shotguns.
Uh-huh.
You know, basic Berettas, you know, your A400, your Silver Pigeons, 694s.
I didn't know.
You know,
that.
I work with, you know. Yeah, we've got a little array of only Beretta, and then we do a lot of consignment stuff. And then, you know, we work with Cole Gunsmithing on some higher end. You know, if somebody wants a DT-11, we're going to help them get a DT-11. You know, if somebody wants a, you know, K-80 Krieghoff, you know, I'm going to call Kimball and, you know, Tim Ward, those guys. And, you know, we try to help everybody. You know, like our saying is, my boss David says, you know, we're not in the gun business, but if we can help somebody with a gun, you know, they're going to shoot targets, and we want to help them, you know, get the right gun that, you know, tailored to that person, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. I didn't know that. Now, where is Rocky Creek located?
Yeah, it's in Richburg, South Carolina. Probably a lot of people don't know where that's at.
Yeah.
Easiest way to think about where it's located, if you look at Charlotte, North Carolina, mm-hmm. and Columbia, South Carolina, or even at the University of South Carolina, or about 40 minutes in between the two. So if you're in Columbia, it takes you about 40, 45 minutes to get to us. If you're in Charlotte, in South Charlotte, you can get there in about a half hour. 30 minutes, so it's a good location for a populated place, and we draw a lot of shooters from Charlotte area.
Yeah, and some people listening to this may not know, but you were down at Quail Creek for a long time, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. You know, Quail Creek, I tell everybody that's always a special place that I worked. I was very blessed and happy to work there. I had a lot of friends from being down in Florida. You know, the Finese family's great people.
Yeah.
Little Joe's awesome. I talk to him every week, you know, text, or we mess around about Texas A&M now since he's going there. One of my best friends, you know, from college, he was a big-time Texas A&M guy, and he actually was in a Johnny Manziel base. So we joke about that, you know, and have a good time.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was there. Great place.
You know, Little Joe's going to be setting some targets down at the Gator Cup. He's going to be setting the five stand, if you knew that or not.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I pity whoever shoots that. You know, man, they can shoot that good, right? Joe's not scared to wing one, you know. I'd be out there even sometimes at Quail Creek and, you know, like, let me set that one. I'd go, woo. So I'm glad I don't have to shoot that one, you know. No, he'll do a good job, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be interesting to see those scores, you know. I'm going to have to talk to him and say, Joe, you know. Everybody, remember, there's our guys that are 70 years old out there. You know, mess with them. But yeah. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. So what? I'll kind of talk about what you got going on, and you know, I want to touch on a lot of different topics. You know,
yep.
You teach, you coach shooters, and
yes, sir.
You know, kind of get into how you do that. How you know, and it's not just that you coach people; you go to a coach.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's just you don't hear that a whole lot, you know, or I haven't at least. When you're going to go see a shotgun coach to teach you how to shoot, or teach you some, you know, give you some pointers. But that coach also goes to a coach. That's neat. You don't hear that a lot.
Yeah, Justin, you know, I think that's a great topic, right, that nobody ever talks about. Everybody, you know, who's your coach? I'm self-taught. You know, you hear that a lot. It's like, you know, I learned, you know, at a young age, you know, playing football, baseball, whatever it was, you know, you're going to get better by learning from somebody that knows more than you do, right?
Yep.
So I never said, oh, I know everything. You know, if I'm not learning every day, I call it a bad day. I try to learn something new every day, whether it's shooting, business, life, being a dad. You know, I learned something new. I got a 20-month-old daughter, and she's a trip. You know, she teaches me new things every day. So, so I'll start with that. My coach, you know, kind of coming up in the game, Anthony Matarese. I was very lucky. I lived right, you know, hour down the road from M&M. Mm-hmm. Especially they put in a highway route one. It was really easy to get there. And, you know, I went to these shoots. I worked at a gun club called Pintail Point as a kid on the weekends, and started shooting and started entertainment. And everybody's like, we shot the local clubs around the area. And they're like, you got to go to M&M. You think you can shoot, you're going to get humbled there, you know? So what we do, a friend of mine who passed away now, Bert Jackson, he took me to M&M. I got humbled. I'm like, whoa, I never shot targets like this, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I walked in the clubhouse for the first time. I'll never forget it. I'm probably, you know, 15, 14. I can't even remember. And I see this, like, big trophy case. And, I mean, there's medals, there's trophies. And who is that? Well, I asked a friend of mine. He goes, well, that's Anthony, you know? His family owns this club. You know, he's one of the best shooters in the country. And I'm like, really? So I started shooting and meeting more people. And then I said, you go to a local shoot and, you know, who's at the top? It was, you know, in those days, it was Anthony Matarese, Joe Carey, Gary Phillips, you know, in my area. Like, you weren't going to beat those guys. And I'm like, you know, got to know Anthony after going up to M&M quite a few times. And, you know, I said, man, how do I get to the next level? And he said, so I'm like, meet me at M&M at such and such time. I can't remember the dates. And I show up at M&M and you're 5 burns off your game. You know, shooting quite well, but he really kind of gets the credit for taking me to the next level. Just recently, you know, last Monday and Tuesday, and here I am. I mean, I coach full time, you know, 30 plus hours a week. And I went to see Anthony on my 2 days off just to take my game to the next level, not as a shooter, but also as a coach. You know, the guy's like, you know, I would call him the wizard, you know, the Wayne Gretzky of shooting. He just, you know, Anthony, is this right? He's like, man, everything's good. Maybe you can try this. You know, like, we really only looked two things. He goes, and I looked at Anthony and I said, how do I beat Derek Mine and Zach Kimball, right? He kind of laughed. He goes, you can beat anybody, but, you know, you've got to put in the work, you know, the practice, you know, so. Yeah, I mean, I call Anthony and say, hey, I've got a student that's having trouble with this. Here's what I've done. He might say, you know, yeah, everything's good, but, you know, try this. He's very, just very lucky to kind of be in Anthony's, you know, kind of umbrella. He's really helped me out in the game, to progress in the game for sure. He's always been there to answer my questions or, you know, and help me out for sure.
Yeah. You know, you and I were talking the other day. Yeah. You go to see a coach and they'll say, you're behind it, you're in front of it, you're whatever. He does. You and Anthony don't do that.
No. I mean, one of the biggest things we talk about is, you know, you have to tell somebody why they missed and what to do to correct it. Not, you know, a very blue moon will say, hey, you did everything perfect, just shot a little bit behind it. You know what I mean? That's like, if we were going to say 100 things, that would happen one time. You know, out of 100, a strive on that. It's kind of really paid off. If you look at some of Anthony's students and some of my students, kind of that same academy, same school of shooting, there's a lot of shooters out there that have been, you know, came out of that umbrella, what we call the, you know, Carlisle umbrella. Mm-hmm. You know, that that kind of, you know, base of shooting, you know.
If you keep telling someone they're behind it or in front of it, well, all they got to do is put the gun in front of it or, you know, wherever they're at. And when they do that, do they know why they did it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, did they know why they were behind it? Well,
yeah.
They could have been behind it and not knowing why. You just told them to put it in front of it, so they did it, and they don't know why.
Right. We call that, you know, short memory success. You know, that's going to be something to kind of what I call get through a lesson. You know, my goal for everybody I teach, you know, and I talk about, I go, hey, Mike's not going to be behind you at a tournament. And I want you to understand this when we leave the station. So, you know, a lot of times we'll, you know, they'll shoot that station, and before the end of the lesson, I'll take them back to that station. I'm like, all right, let's see what you learned on this station. I'm not going to say a word. And, you know, boom, 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 they execute it perfectly. And then it's great. You know, I'll get an email the next week. Hey, Mike, that, you know, 45-yard crow, you know, target that I worked on, had trouble with, you know, I hit every one of them, and, you know, I won the shoot. You know, that's the stuff you want to hear. That means they're understanding. You know, my whole goal is to teach somebody where I don't even have to be there. They can execute it in a tournament, you know, on their own. I mean, I take a lot of pride in that. You know, like I said, tonight I was, you know, answering phone calls and emails until, you know, 8:30. Ate dinner real quick with my family, played with my daughter, and I was back at it, you know, just to try to, you know, big in the, you know, helping somebody out. I tell somebody, you know, if they're coming out, like any coach, you know, if you give me 100%, I'm going to give you 110%. You know what I mean? I'm going to give them every bit of knowledge I can to make them successful. You know, like Rihanna said on the podcast, you know, I haven't seen her probably in 8 months, maybe more than that. She stopped at Rocky Creek on the way to a shoot, but she might, you know, text me a question. I'll say, go practice this or work on this. You know, just I'm there to help, you know, help people out. I want to see them get better. That grows the sport, you know.
Yeah. I think it matters too when a coach will do that with you. You know, it matters that.
Absolutely.
They'll spend it, you know, take that little extra effort and help you when you need it. So I know that you said you're up there with Anthony, and isn't he having the U.S. Open next year in 2022?
No. So Rick Hemingway actually has it 2022.
That's right. That's right.
COVID. Rick was, yeah. So Rick's got it.
That's
yeah,
right.
I'm actually going to help Rick out with that one. You know, I've known Rick for years, and now that he moved to South Carolina, we became really, really good friends. You know, even better than we were, talk every week. Well, he's looking, you know, what I like about Rick, he's very innovative. You know, he's trying to come up with something new for the sport, and he's all about the shooters. I'll tell you, he's there for the shooters, make the sport better. So, you know, U.S. Open, I'm going to go over there and set some targets for him. So that's going to be good. You know, he's looking forward to it. He gets a new target setter in his area. I'm looking forward to it because I get to set targets on a ground. I've shot a lot, but I've never set targets on. Every time I do that, I'm like, ooh, I could do this, you know. So that'll be good for, you know, Rick and myself.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. How with what everything you got going on, with working at Rocky Creek, running the show there, coaching, I'm sure you set targets at your place. If not, you've shown somebody. I mean, how do you have time to – and you can still shoot. So how do you have time to – go out there, do what you do, go to a shoot, HOA the shoot. How do you do that?
Yeah, so, I mean, first thing, I'm very competitive. I mean, in everything, you know, whether it's business, whether it's my buddy coming over in a video game, you know, when I was a kid. So, you know, I wanted to win. So, very competitive. Kind of same thing. A couple people inspired me. You know, Anthony being one of them, Chuck Frazier, who just passed away. I've had really, really good mentors. My dad, I mean, all hard on me when I was a kid, you know, about work ethic. And, you know, he goes, one of the famous quotes, you can sleep when you're dead. Let's get up and go. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, I just go, you know, I work a lot of times 7 days a week. And then when I find time to practice, one of the things I've been working on is even getting more serious about my practice. You know, like, okay, if I've only got 45 minutes, I can shoot a lot of shells in 45 minutes. I just need to get the reps in, but proper reps. If I can only shoot 100 shells, but I shot them, you know, absolutely with 110%, that's a great practice for me. You know, in other days, you know, say it's raining, and I have a lesson that cancels and I'm caught up with all my book work and everything like that, I'll go shoot in the rain. You know, it doesn't bother me. Whatever it takes to kind of, time is, you know, precious, you know, for me. So I just, every chance I get, I'll just, you know, work on my game or, you know, I mean, I do another thing, gun mounts. I do 100 gun mounts a day at my house, and I haven't missed a day since I was 16 years old. That's including, you know, Christmas morning. I mean, I'll be sick. I remember when I had the flu at Quail Creek a couple years ago, and Marie actually sent me home. I mean, that's another thing. I've never really called out a day of work in my life. I've been sent home because they're like, you're crazy. But I was there with the flu, doing my gun mounts, could barely lift the gun, but I got them in. Took a little longer than normal, you know, so just dedication. Dedicated person, you know.
All right, talk about the gun mount just for a second. How important to that? Yes, how important is your gun mount practice to you? I mean, it sounds like it's you live and die by it. So what is, how do you do that? What's the big deal with it? Yeah. Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, so my big deal, two things behind it for me personally. The first thing is endurance. I'm not a guy that's going to go out and run 3 miles. I probably can't do that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I think that gives my arms endurance. My manual labor is, you know, moving traps around, and I'll help the boys pick shells at the end of the day. You know, I'll walk the course instead of riding on a cart, you know, just for exercise. But recently, my gun mount, like I said, endurance, just mounting that gun. People, I said, take a 10-pound dumbbell, you know, and hold it with both your hands, but just bring it, you know, from maybe under your pec all the way to your cheek, and do that 100 times. It's only 10 pounds, but you start getting around like 50, 60 reps. It's going to be hard to hold that dumbbell up, you know. So I think that helps me from not shooting as much as I would like to. I can just get those reps to kind of stay, keep my arms going. And like I said, Anthony saw my dumbbell was a little low a couple weeks ago, and you know, I said it's not going to expose you. So we got this real high burn, and, you know, I'm just shooting. Oh, man, okay. So that thing, great. I made a perfect move. Why did I miss? You know, a little underneath, you know, a little over the top, whatever it was. And then he's like, just drop a half inch in that shoulder top here. I mean, that crushed 10 in a row. I'm like, wow, right? I would have never saw that on my own. And then the other reason for gun mounts is, you know, just I'm going to find that perfect place. I figure if I can eliminate my mount, that's one less thing I have to worry about. I can put my total attention on, you know, detail, focus on the target, and I don't have to worry about, oh, did I get my gun up right? Did I get it in my shoulder pocket? Kind of muscle memory, you know, having that same feel every time. Those are two really main things. That's why I do it. Like I said, my wife laughs at me all the time. Like, what are you doing? You know, you're always, you know, got to get my gun mount in. You know,
yeah,
I missed them this morning. You know,
well, you know, there's people out there that think that you put the gun up and pull the trigger, and I shot in front of it or behind it or over it or wherever, and they keep doing it. Well, something else. It could be something else. It could be your gun mount need to come up. I mean, it could be a lot of things, but I don't know if people ever think about it. You know, yes, the better shooters do. The people that are learning, you know, that's a big deal to have the gun mounted the right way. You know.
Oh, I mean, big deal. You know, quick example for, you know, people listening, you know, Turner Parcell, he was the captain of the sub-junior All-American team, young kid, going to be an excellent shot, already is an excellent shot. He won the tour championship for sub-junior too. And, you know, right before, you know, he won a couple of regionals right in a row, he was rolling, goes to the nationals. I mean, he's in that top 10 percentile out of everybody. Lost the sub junior by one bird, you know, and he was like devastated, and I kind of trust the process. And then he kind of we got back to work, and you know, he just had his gun a little bit too low. He just had Jim Greenwood build him a stock. Well, Jim built it for the way Turner's body is, and you know, he was getting that thing low like his old gun because his old gun didn't fit him real well. And I mean, we made such a tiny adjustment just to get the gun up in his shoulder pocket better. I mean, he sees the lights out again. So like you said, that little thing, it can make the one difference.
Oh, yeah. Huge difference. You know, shooting over things, pull your gun up in your shoulder, right?
Yeah. I mean, half inch, you know, sometimes. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah.
That's right. All right. So talk about what you do at Rocky Creek every day. other than coach. We've talked about that already.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, basically, I've got a really, really great owner, boss, friend of mine, David Chestnut. He's big into, he just loves support shooting. You know, it's not his main business. So he kind of handed the reins over to me. You know, I order all the shells, all the targets. I set all the targets. You know, I tell people, well, a weakness of mine is obviously paperwork. Luckily, I have a great Courtney Jordan. She kind of runs the office for me. She's fantastic at that stuff. So she kind of takes care of that. And we just go over it together, but she'll have it all ready for me. You know, we process, you know, we do a little bit of everything. I mean, you know, I can run the point of sales if I need to run the point of sales. We do, you know, if we unload the target, just kind of, we work a lot of hours. You know, I'll do a little bit of everything. Like I said, if you kind of run a sporting clay range, you need to be, you know, I tell her, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. You know, you got to be able to do a little bit of everything. Very lucky. You know, I've got a young man. I got, you know, Wes works for me, Daniel, another one, Jake Wade. Daniel's phenomenal. Daniel is a, he actually worked at Quail Creek with me. And Daniel works at Rocky Creek now, and he's just become awesome. Rick Hemingway loves him. Chuck loved him. He's a phenomenal trap mechanic. So those guys really make me successful. You know, I say you're only as good as your help. And, you know, I'm very blessed to have a fantastic team that, you know, if I'm out giving a lesson, you know, they can cover me, or, you know, they can answer a question, you know, that, you know, they don't have to just come ask me. They can just handle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that helps out a lot. You know, we have, you know, meetings to get on the same page. You know, we got a great team.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong when I say this, but is South Carolina the largest youth state in the United States?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a great question. It's the largest, what I call standalone. You know, not SETP is obviously larger, but that's in every state, you know, including South Carolina has SETP. Like Texas has the 4-H, but we have the largest youth shooting program with high schools, middle schools, elementary schools have teams. It is wild. Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. Private schools, I mean, it's crazy. I see these schools. I'll give you an example. So I went to Edgefield, South Carolina, three weeks ago at the NWTF. That's the National Wild Turkey Federation complex.
Right.
They built a big shooting complex, cool place. And I just went there because David said, hey, why don't you come to this one? It's going to be our largest attended shoot ever. And I can't tell you exactly what date they started the foundation. But they had 878 kids shoot in one day.
Wow. That's just amazing.
Right. Who does that? Yeah. I want the world, like, you know, I'm sitting there on the one of the, I'm sitting on my buggy. Rick's on his, and Rick looks at me and he goes, Mike, if only 20% of the shooting industry knew about this foundation, you know, how crazy this would be. It is the most organized and attention to detail foundation I've ever seen. Cool stat. They fired the first shot at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking 878 kids now. They fired the first shot at 8:30. The last shot was fired at 4:30. Put it this way, it's a 3.7 ratio to one shooter. So you've got the grandmothers, the aunts, moms, dads, brothers, sisters. Everybody on that course has eye protection. Everybody has ear protection. They all know where to go. You know, they parked, it's crazy what they parked. There were like 1,300 cars because their aunt comes from North Carolina. This aunt comes from Tennessee. It's unbelievable. I mean, if anybody wants to see down the road, I mean, that's something on somebody's bucket list to just watch one of those shoots. It's unbelievable.
And where is this? Where is this at? Where did you have to go?
I went to Edgefield, South Carolina.
Okay. Edgefield.
At the NWTF.
Edgefield, okay.
Yeah, so to elaborate on that a little more, Justin, so they have, you know, like the NSCA has the Tour Championship.
Right.
Five regionals, U.S. Open, and Nationals. Well, the South Carolina Youth Shooting Foundation also has its own little tour championship. So, and it rotates every year. So, for example, the first shoot was at Clinton House, and these are like qualifiers. You know, the second shoot was at NWTF. Maurice has a shoot. The next one at Rocky Creek. I have the fourth one. And then Rick Hemingway this year has the state championship. That's like their big shoot, end of the year hoorah. And, you know, they give away, you know, several, I can't even count how many guns. They give away, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of scholarships. Midway USA is a huge supporter. I mean, everybody in the industry comes together to support this thing. You know, we've got a director of staff that just runs this organization, Sharon Roddy. She's phenomenal. I mean, she handles all the emails, the stuff. There's so many, and the volunteers and the coaches. It's unbelievable.
Now, is this a team deal or is this individual?
Yep. So, both, they have teams just kind of like the FBTP.
Yeah.
For people that are familiar with that, it's a three-man team, you know, and the only thing they do different than FBTP, which I think is really, really cool, I would push for this and other organizations, and they do ladies teams only. You know, they might like have three ladies rookies, three ladies JV, so they have actually all ladies teams or all male teams, and then they have a mixed team. If the, depending on their high school, you know, what they have for kids, you know, like Richard Wynn, right down the road from me, private school, you know, they've got 43 kids. That's one school, private school, small school. They've got 43 kids on one team. That's pretty incredible. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's awesome.
So does Rocky Creek have a youth shooting team?
Yes, sir, we do. They're called the Rocky Creek Claymasters. What's crazy about South Carolina, unlike when I was at Quail Creek, you know, Quail Creek, I worked specifically with the Young Guns. You know, that was Quail Creek's team. You know, like I said, arguably one of the best, you know, youth shooting teams in the country. Powerhouse, you know, they had, you know, Ryan Harper, Clayton Cutshaw, Nick Blinker, Joseph Needy, Rihanna, Ashley Blinker, Kirsten Sale. I mean, loads, Joseph Pinchin, loads of kids that were NFCA All-Americans from that team. So we had one team. But in Florida, there was only like four or five total teams. South Carolina, there's 90-something teams. I mean, you can't.
That's crazy.
I can't specifically coach one, you know.
That is crazy. Now, how do you start a youth team? And then how do you get one to be as good as the Young Guns?
Yeah, so I think it's all about the volunteers. I mean, I tell people, you can say this, that, talent pool has nothing to do with that. It's the volunteers, what you put into it. Even in South Carolina, the like top teams, I see they have what I call the top level volunteers, you know, parents and school teachers, and everybody's a part of this thing to kind of do fundraisers. You just basically start a team. You can start a team through a club. You know, you could go to, for example, you know, right by Quail Creek, you could go to Vero Beach Sporting Clays down the road, and Vero could say, okay, we want to start a team. You know, they would just, you know, they would have to have kids in their area, right? And I don't know exactly the laws behind it, like the zip code and stuff, but you just say, we want to start a team, and then, you know, and you start one. But then it's all about the you know, members of the team. It's like with Little League Baseball, right? If the parents are involved and the coaches are involved, probably going to have a successful team. Fundraisers, stuff like that. What's neat about the South Carolina Youth Shooting Foundation, all that information is online. It's scysf.org, and you can. It's got a whole web page that tells you how to start a team, where to sign up, what you need to do, how to become a member, and it's just simple clicking buttons online. Like I said, you don't have to have a, say your school says, you know, we're not going to have a shooting team. Well, you can start a club team. You can go to your local club and say, hey, can we just use your name? You know, or other people just start clubs, you know, their own club teams. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. What is involved with, so if you, is there like a head coach And does that head coach need to be a shooter? Does he need to be a shooter, or does he need to be a parent? You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, sir, it could be anybody. So,
okay.
Yeah, great question. So I'll just give you an example of what we do in South Carolina. So we actually have a coaching class. It's run by Donnie Rolf. Donnie's been doing this a long time. He knows a lot about shooting. He used to run a gun club. He's retired now. And Donnie has what's called a coach's class, and they come for a full day, and they start from basic 101, like must have eye and ear protection. He gives them a full blown book. The book has kind of all the rules, basic stuff, you know, a little bit of gun fit. Talks about eye dominance. He talks about safety, how to stand, and then, you know, they have a classroom session in the morning. They break for lunch, and then at the, you know, in the afternoon, you have volunteer students, and Donnie takes them all over to the five stand, and he makes them coach, and he, you know, he critiques them. Hey, this is what happened. Here's how you work with a kid versus an adult. Very, very organized. And what we do is everybody who starts a team, the head coach has to take that class, and then he can, you know, kind of help, you know, an assistant coach has to take it. So, like I said, Richard Wynn, I don't know if everybody heard of, like, Habo, the brand Habo, the clothing brand.
Yeah.
Scott Clyburn, you know, he's the head coach for Richard Wynn. He does his, you know, sons used to go there. They're all out of school, but Scott stays involved with the program because he just loves to do it. So he's the head coach. He doesn't even have a kid on the team. So it works out good. You know, we have a lot of volunteers that still help out and coach a team. It does not have to be a parent. Matter of fact, a lot of teams, their parents aren't the coaches. You know, it's other coaches and volunteers, and it's really awesome. It's important. You know, I saw David Radulovich the other day have a post on Facebook. You know, he wanted to volunteer his time to help these coaches. He said, "Hey, this isn't a knack." And you know, I tried that years ago in Florida. I said, "Hey, I will help you guys become better coaches." And it's just, you know, treading, you know, muddy water a little bit, because you don't want to, you're not insulting anybody. And I used to tell kids, I said, "Hey, I'm just going to help you, and this is going to help the kids." And I thought that was a cool post by David. You know, if he wanted to do something like that, I'd definitely help him. I have people all the time, "Can you help me?" They'll come to me for lessons on coaching, not their own shooting. Like, how would you coach a kid? You know, they'll book, you know, 2 hours with me on just that. And they'll bring one of their kids, or two or three or four of their kids, and I'll go over it with them, and it really helps their program, you know.
Yeah. How does a parent that has a kid that wants to start shooting, what do you do? I mean, do you just take them out and start shooting with them, or do you have them, you know, go to one of these teams? I mean, how do you make a kid feel comfortable about starting to shoot when they're not really, you know, when they haven't shot? I mean, do they need to go shoot with their mom and dad and then go to the gun club, or do they need to get a coach? What do they need to do to make them?
I'd tell them, you know, that's another great question. So I get that one a lot. I tell people, I said, and this isn't trying to promote anything, but I go, and it could be anybody. I said, hire a coach, hire a good coach. Just let them take them out one time. They love it. Then mom and dad can just take them out, let them practice. But if they don't, I see so many kids, and I was that kid. If my dad told me, "Mike, this is how you mount a gun," I would say he was wrong. Right? Dad's never right at that age. So
yeah.
an innocent, you know, bystander with a coach, you know, they're going to listen just like a school teacher. And I feel like that's been my connection with coaching kids. You know, you get a guy over there that was like a colonel in the military. He's going to be a tough guy to deal with. You know, you got Mike over here. He's just a grown kid. You know what I mean? They feel comfortable around me, and I talk to him, you know, and I just connect with them really well because they feel comfortable around me. You know what I mean? I'm not putting any pressure on them, just getting them started.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I would recommend to hire a coach. There's so many good coaches that can get people started. When I told people, I said, you know, you have a lot of people that maybe started with a coach that just taught them, you know, gun mount, stance, all that, and they were getting really competitive. And I have coaches call me all the time, "Hey, Mike, I've got, you know, a student over here. I'll take them as far as I can take them. They want to go to the next level. I'm going to send them to you." So you can do that. There's so many things you can do to make your tent feel comfortable. And what I like, we have a whole, so Quail Creek has this, and the South Carolina Youth Sitting Foundation has this. There's a code of ethics, you know, that, you know, you're going to treat your teammates right, you know, you're not going to use foul language. I mean, and they are strict by it. I mean, South Carolina Youth Sitting, I mean, they everybody treats everybody awesome. And what I see is these kids going on and they're becoming great people in society. In the careers, you know, engineers, you know, lawyers, or, you know, some kids in law school. I mean, the, you know, shooting really, personally, shooting changed my life. You know, my mom said the best thing I ever did was go shoot with my Uncle Les because it changed me. You know, it made me more responsible. Taught me how to save money, you know, because I, you know, my mom's like, hey, you want to just save money for shelves, you know, just taught me a lot of things I might have not ever learned if I didn't have, you know, sporting clays in my life, you know?
Yeah. What is one mistake that parents make when they start their kid off shooting?
Oh, biggest mistake just right off the head is, you know, I think it's a combination of two things. First thing, put them in the wrong gun. You know, dad's got an old 870 pump gun, which is a classic legendary gun, but the thing's going to knock your teeth out, you know, it's going to knock the filling loose.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, oh, you got to try it. And that comes, you know, coincide with the next thing, pressure. They're putting too much pressure on their kid. I had a gentleman out the other day, pulled me to the side. He said, hey, my son's, you know, 10, my daughter's 12. When do you think I should let him shoot? I said, great question. I said, tell them, you know, when they mention it to you, hey, dad, I want to go shooting. Don't say, we're going to go shooting today. You know, they'll want it, or bring them out with you. Let them push the buttons. Let them get excited. I watch more kids, especially, you know, youth shooters, you know, the brother was shooting, and they're out there reading their book with a blanket on the back of a golf cart, cold, watching, and then they can only watch for so many weeks. They go, hey, mom, I want to try that.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got a ladies champion. You know what I mean? They sit there for 2-3 years and they can't. Oh, I want to try this. You know, if my brother could do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
I've seen awesome shooters come out of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can only sit there and read books for so long before you want to try it. You know.
That's right. That's right.
So what drives you every day in the sport, and what do you? Yeah. How are you making it better? Or how do you want it to get better?
Yeah. So, I flat out love, shooting, right? I love guns, you know, trap machines. We're always saying, how can we make the newest cool target? Everything that involves clay shooting, I love it. I tell people I've had very, very few bad days at work, very, very few. And not many people can say that, you know, I love what I do. I think what drives me every day is, you know, just seeing the sport grow. If one thing I could do, I said, I don't, you know, the personal goal might, you know, I want to be a national champion, U.S., you know, U.S. champion, world sporting champion, you know, I've won side events at all those shoots, but that's a personal goal. But if I don't ever do that, and if I can leave a mark on the game and promote it, and you know, one of my goals now is like, I want to coach champions. That's what I've done with a lot of youth shooters, you know, and all, you know, veteran shooters, open shooters. I've got some, you know, other shooters right now I'm working with, you know, just adults that are awesome. They're going to be awesome in the next couple of years. And I want to be, you know, the guy that said, hey, man, Mike really stepped my game up for me. Just kind of being that mentor to young kids and showing them, you know, what they can do. You know, today's world, there's some kids that flat out don't want to go to college, right? And they love to shoot. And this industry's hurting right now for what we call talent, you know, as far as target setters, trap mechanics, stuff like that. You know, I want to be that guy to say, hey, I can help you get there. You know, let me, you know, you come over here for a year, intern with me, and, you know, we can get you a job at a great, great club, you know. Two friends of mine, you know very well, Dave Belton, Gene Bostic.
Yep.
You know, Double D calls me all the time, you know, and I answer his questions. That Mike, thank you so much. I would have never known that. But you take, they got Cody over there. You know, I went over there a few days back, and I shot the course, and that guy is a great target setter. I thought his targets were awesome. You know, he's putting a lot of effort into it. I was very impressed. So we need more guys like Cody coming up, trying hard, you know, getting their name out there. And it's tough right now because not a lot of people, like I said, target setter, that's a tough world because, you know, you can't please everybody. You know, and it's hard getting, you know, sitting there moving all those machines, spending all those hours in something. I thought your course was terrible. I said, guys, you just got to get used to it. Same things I tell people getting into shooting. I'm like, if you can't stand losing to women and children, you're in the wrong game. You know, they laugh at me, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just, I want to leave the mark. I want to help people grow in the industry, and I want to be the guy, you know, down the road, known as like the, you know, Chuck Frazier. And, you know, I've had a lot of, you know, Chuck Frazier, Fred Finizi was a great mentor. I've been very lucky, Anthony. So, like, I've got some of the best mentors in the game that mold me into who I am. And now it's kind of nice when people call me for me to help them out. So I think now it's my turn to return what I got from people, you know, return the knowledge, you know, and help people out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. And you might not know how to answer this, but how could everyone else help the sport get better?
That's a great question. I think so. I can kind of relate to that a little bit. So it's funny. You take, like, you know, for example, I'll just use this example, Anthony and Corey Cruz. Mm-hmm. They help each other out.
Yeah.
They're on the course. If those two guys are in the squad, good luck trying to beat them, right? Because they're working together. They're shooting the same style. They're friends. I see, you know, my buddy, if I'm shooting with, you know, Ryan Harper and my buddy Corey Rugg, you know, usually we're going to have somebody in that squad is going to shoot a big score because we're kind of working with each other. You know what I mean? My buddy Corey, phenomenal shot. And he says, Mike, that bird took a little more than I thought. You know, when he comes out of the box, he just, you know, pay attention to the front. It's just a little thing. And I go in there and run the station because he made the mistake. I don't see that so much anymore. I think we gotta be better, you know, to help each other out. You know, it's a competitive sport, but I think to grow the game, we've got to, you know, treat each other better. You know, I tell these kids all the time, you know, I know you guys are competitors, but if that guy shoots that good, make friends with him. I said, I made friends with Anthony. You know what I mean? He's better than me. You know, just as joking with him, but learn from somebody that knows where you work together. I'd like to see more of that in the sport. Not, oh, you got to do it my way and only. I mean, tailor to somebody's needs. You know, when I'm coaching, I have so many different levels of shooters. I got a guy who's looking for two birds. You know, I gave a guy a lesson the other day. He's arguably the last 20 years been the best shot in North Carolina. I mean, he's a good friend of mine. I don't have trouble mentioning his name, Wesley Elliott. I mean, his average over 20 years was like 92.8, right? The guy's phenomenal.
Wow.
We went to the first, you know, 5, 6, 7 stages. He never missed a target. I'm giving him a lesson. I said, Wesley, just keep going. Do I look all right? I said, look, I'll tell you when. Then we kind of found his weakness on a couple of targets. And, you know, that two-hour lesson, we literally worked on two things, you know. And then I might have somebody who's, you know, just starting out. They don't even know how to mount the gun. So I don't say, this is the way I've got to coach. I'll tailor to somebody's needs. It's a style. It's a method, but I'm going to tailor to somebody's needs. So I just help people. You know, if somebody calls you with a question, you know, I'd tell everybody, throw the ego in the trash can. Be the good person. Try to help each other, that, you know, help each other out, you know.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see that grow. Zach and Desi are probably two of the best people in the sport for that. You know what I mean? They're always trying to help somebody. I said, be a Bill McGuire, be a Zach, you know, be a Desi, you know, be a Diane Tolentino, be somebody who, you know, you have asked a question, they're going to help you, you know what I mean? You might beat them the next time you shoot, but they'll be happy that they helped you, you know?
Yeah, if you're shooting with them, I promise you they'll help.
More of that.
They'll help you if you're shooting with them, too.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what plans you got for your place up there in the coming year?
Yeah, so coming year. So, you know, we're hosting the 2021 South Carolina State Championship. That's the second week of September. That's going to be a cool shoot. You know, last year, me and Rick Hemingway came up with the North Carolina versus South Carolina Challenge. you know, five of the top guns from North Carolina, five of the top guns from South Carolina, and they shot off, and man, that was a crowd favorite. It was like over 40,000 views on Facebook. It was so popular.
Wow.
People loved it.
Who won that?
Yeah, they're like, South Carolina. Yep. And I'll tell you what, we were at odds. You know, that's a cool little quick story I'll tell you. I think people will love this. North Carolina, you know, was stacked. They had the young guy named Justin Sessoms. He's just a local kid, awesome shooter, got has a great dad. You know, he was picked. They had Cameron Hicks, upcoming shooter, you know, Cameron in the military. They had Braxton Oliver. I mean, Braxton was master one at the Nationals, and he was like runner up in four regionals. I mean, one of the hottest guns of last year. And then they had a guy named Richard Cheek, local guy, yep. Phenomenal shot. Yep. And then Wesley Elliott was their captain. So, I mean, and Wesley said he's won the North Carolina state so many times you can't even count. Like Anthony said, he knew Wesley. He met Wesley when Anthony was 12 years old. That's how long he's been shooting, you know. So, and then it was, you know, I had Turner Parcell, 15-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. I had Will Fennell, local. Everybody knows Will.
Yep.
Chris Ferris, he won the Northeast Regional, shoots at my club a lot. And I had a local guy named Scott Jones, won several South Carolina state shoots, and myself. Yep. And Turner Parcell put on the show, kept us in it. The old guys, you know, me and Will, we weren't hitting much under the lights at first. You know, and I'm no way older. Oldest Will, he knows that I call him old man all the time. Will's a friend of mine, by the way. I'm not. But, yeah, it came down to a deadlock. We were dead tied going to the last peg, and I was the team captain for South Carolina. Wesley was the team captain for North Carolina. We shot last, and I looked over at Wesley. He looked over at me. I knew he was serious, but I edged him out at the end. So South Carolina won. It was pretty cool. But it was the crowd went wild. So we're going to do something like that. We covered all the shooting stations last year. Put in a super sporting course on one of our courses. We have three of them. So we put a super sporting course in our oak course, which is our kind of medium level, so we can have an easy, medium, and tough target. Mm-hmm. And going forward, we're actually going to put lights on our five stand this year. That's our next goal, to light that up. So this summer we can do we're going to do some make or break, at nighttime, you know, get 20, 30 guys or girls, whoever wants to come shoot and have a good time. Everybody throwing $5 and, you know, eat a little bit of dinner and just kind of expanding the club. Club's great. We've really done a lot of work to it since I've got here. David's really helped me out. Anything I've kind of said, hey, here's what we could do to improve, you know, he's gave me the capital to improve it, and it's showing. We're doing very well.
Well, good. How do you sign up for the South Carolina state shoot? Where do you go to do that?
Yeah, so it's on you go right on Score Chasers.
Okay.
So yeah, we convert to Score Chasers, and yeah. We see a scoring program. You can go right on there, sign up. All the info is right there. Flyers on there. You can click on the option. Whole nine yards right on Score Chaser.
Yeah, well, good. Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight, man. I really enjoyed this conversation. It actually went by fairly quick. You know, it's what happens when you enjoy talking about something you enjoy.
Yeah, so. Man, I enjoyed it. Like I said, I could talk all night, you know. All good.
So where are you going next? What big shoot you going to next?
Next week, a childhood friend of mine, Brian Palmer, took over the Vero Beach Gun Club. And, you know, like the week before the Gator Cup, I've actually got a corporate event here. Can't go to the Gator. And my bucket list was the Caribbean Cup because I never make a game to it because we really set in targets and get ready for the Gator Cup. So, yeah, I'm going on the Caribbean Cup. And then after that, another bucket list shoot I'm going to get to do this year is the Seminole Cup. Never have done the Seminole Cup. Schedule conflict in my job. That's the only week in March I don't have something this year, and I'm going. I said this. I've always wanted to go. You know, a bunch of people. It's got to go, Mike. And I'm really looking forward to both those shoots.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I won't be at the Caribbean Cup. I have never been there, actually. I guess you hadn't either.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I shot practice there a couple of times, but never got to see a match there. Tournament. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I've heard they've done a lot to the place. So I'm looking forward to, you know, going to that shoot.
Yep. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. I know you got things to do, and I appreciate you coming on. And anybody needing a lesson, call this guy right here. I promise you he'll help you out. So I appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, Justin. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right,
yeah,
buddy.
Y'all need anything, give me a holler.
All right, we'll do it, buddy. See you.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, you too.